Diversified retail group TFG delivered noisy earnings numbers today, but a strong performance overall on the revenue and the margin side. TFG, just as a reminder, has a portfolio of 28 leading fashion and homeware brands in 32 countries on 5 continents, and really becoming one of the leading online players in the local market as well, with a recent announcement. I've got CEO Anthony Finstrom on the line. Evening, Anthony. The Bloomberg consensus was looking for full year adjusted earnings per share growth 4%. You reported that total headline earnings grew by 14.3% to a record 1.2 billion rand. But if you factor in the additional shares in issue and some of the costs related to the RAG and the other acquisition, it looks like headline earnings per share grew by around 3.4%.
Yeah, look, I think, Michael, there are various ways you can view the various earnings numbers, and the accountants make it very complicated in terms of giving, you know, so many different options. I think for me, if you kind of take a step back and look at the numbers that, really reflect the underlying business, I think it does become less noisy, to use the terminology you shared. For me, the key number is really the HEPS growth of 8.3%. So that does take into account the additional shares that we issued last year to pay for our acquisition in Australia. The fact that we had some acquisition costs in the previous year, the way I would look at that is that it was money very well spent. We acquired two excellent businesses that have been very cash and profit generative this year, and we haven't had to spend any further money on acquisition costs. People can take their pick, but for me, the 8.3% is probably reflective, in the best way around the underlying performance.
Right. Now, Anthony, looking at TFG London, which is a small contributor to top line and earnings in the overall scheme of things, so just to contextualize it here, is a lot of pressure faced by the UK retail market. It's an interesting market at the moment. And for TFG in particular, your exposure to department stores in the UK is something of a concern. House of Fraser, Debenhams have both announced that they'll be closing stores. And that means a large portion of your route to market over in London is facing some significant headwinds. But just take me through how you're responding to that particular retail trading environment.
Yeah, Mike, I don't think I could have summarized the trading conditions better than you've just done now. The UK is, I think as tough as it can be in South Africa, I think right now the UK is without doubt the toughest market that we're trading in. And everything you said around the department store pressures is equally 100% correct. I think we're in the fortunate position, though, in the UK that whilst it has been a relatively, the department stores, that is, have been a relatively big route to market for us, we're growing online significantly in the UK. In total, our three brands are just over 30% online. That's way ahead of the UK average for apparel retailers, which sits at about 18%. And over this period now, we grew online in double digits again for all three of our brands there. So I think the department store thing will play itself out. I think we will end up with less stores, less department stores in the UK than we have currently. But it's a question of how quickly that happens and to what extent and how quickly we can react to that through growing our own online. And then equally a big and I think probably underappreciated part of our UK business is their own international business. So if you take a look at Hobbs, Whistles and Phase 8 and how much they sell into markets outside of the UK now, that grew again in double digits over this period, sitting at about 17.5-18% of their total turnover. And I guess we'd hope, as long as those brands continue to grow internationally, together with the greater online migration, we might be in for a bumpy ride for a period of time. But I think light at the end of the tunnel, perhaps.
And who knows what's on the Brexit menu as well. Absolutely. Which might impact things. Now, no. In the South African market, you've announced, and to stick with that online theme, the launch of My TFG World. And a lot of people took to social media when you announced it because you said it's in response to Amazon. And I thought, well, TFG in response to Amazon, what can little old TFG do? But canvassing A few of my colleagues, this is very unscientific, they really have been quite enthusiastic about the offering of My TFG World and have already shopped on it and made orders and enthusiastic about the service. So tell me a little bit more about this multi-brand online marketplace that you're building.
Well, yeah, Michael, thanks first of all for the feedback, and please thank them for their custom. We greatly appreciate it. Please continue. look, I think the taking on Amazon or in defense to Amazon, I think it's a bit of a misnomer. I mean, Amazon really are, or have been up until now, a pure play online retailer who kind of putting their toe into bricks and mortar stores. We're coming it from exactly the opposite angle. We've got 2,500 odd physical stores in South Africa, very small online contribution, and we want to see those two merge over time and converge. I guess our starting premise is, you know, we've got just under 13.5 million customers on our databases that we service on a regular basis. We wanted to create a website that gives people more choice, allows them to compare different offerings from our own brands in the first instance. I mean, if you go to our landing page, for example, you'll find an icon you can click at to look at 10 totally different types of ladies' denim. It'll give you the, you know, price offering from 3,500 rand down to probably 250 odd rand, different brands, different technical specs, different body shapes and sizes, and you can now see that in one snapshot on one website. In addition to that, and I think this is quite an exciting move for us going forward, is we now are treating this very much as a marketplace, and I think that's probably where the reference to Amazon comes in terms of the fact that we're bringing third-party brands that we traditionally wouldn't have stocked because we don't own them, and they are now coming onto our website. So we've got 7 third-party brands either on or currently being loaded, and we'll have another 7 or 8 in the second half of this financial year, kind of getting to 15-odd brands, and really diverse, you know, going from ordering flowers through to booking your next holiday in Mauritius, through to buying toys or drones for your kids. So I think it's really around leveraging the infrastructure and the systems we've got. And equally, we do see this converging with our 2,500-odd stores. What we're seeing increasingly is a move to click and collect, even if people could have online orders delivered directly to their home. A lot of them are actually choosing to have them delivered or to make sure they're available in a store near them, and they actually still enjoy going in to collect.
Well, that is interesting, and obviously that then helps you logistically in terms of getting a lot of the product to market. When you talk about expanding that third-party brand presence and building it into a marketplace, what are some of the challenges that you do have to overcome? And one can just think of, you know, dealing with third-party brands and ensuring that they've got stock on hand and available and ready. What are some of the challenges?
Now, that the point you just mentioned is definitely one of the challenges. What we don't want to do is end up with a customer having a poor experience due to being let down by somebody that we don't directly control. Mm. We've spent a lot of time working with and onboarding each of the third parties that are on there at the moment. We've got very strict SLAs in place with them, and we'll just have to monitor those as they go along. I think the other challenge is, you know, frankly, just for online in South Africa overall is just the slow rate of adoption. It's speeding up really fast. But again, in our world, that's circa 1% of our turnover in South Africa.
And then on the margin front, your margin was really impressive overall. Your gross margin grew to 53.6%, up from 51%. And in retail, we know it's in the percentages, so that's a great performance. TFG Africa gross margins are up to 47.6 from 46.6. And even in London, the margin contraction wasn't all that much, 63.6 down to 63. And over in Australia, also it's heading in the right direction, up to 64.4 from 63.6. What's your outlook over the next six?
Crystal ball stuff, but I think we watch margin in all of our territories like a hawk, as you correctly say. It's, you know, margin is absolutely everything in retail. I think for me, probably the most pleasing out of the three territories in terms of gross margin was that 1 percentage point improvement in our South African business. As you'll know, we've been investing heavily for the last couple of years in our own factories, local sourcing, local manufacturing. What we're tending to see come out of that is because of the higher proportion of quick response, we're able to react to fashion trends a lot more quickly than if you were ordering from offshore. It tends to lead to lower markdowns, and the markdowns feed directly into your margin. For me, that's probably the single biggest pleasing point of the South African results.
That was TFG CEO Anthony Thunstrom delivering a market-pleasing set of results today against the backdrop of what has been a very difficult time for retailers. Lots for management to be proud of with that set of numbers.